Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Ed, how are you, sir?
Doing well.
And Fred Jackson joins us.
Yes, good morning, and a special hello to all our Canadian listeners who are celebrating Thanksgiving today. Happy Turkey Day.
Okay. Well, tell us about Thanksgiving Day in Canada.
Well, you know, it looks a whole lot like American Thanksgiving. You take the day off and you eat a lot of turkey.
What do they watch on TV in the afternoon when everybody's napping?
The latest snowshoe races from Tuck to Yuck Duck.
That's easy for you to
say. I'm sorry. I was mid-coffee there. I will spit it out. I
thought Tuck to Yuck Duck.
I thought he used a bad word on the radio here. What races now?
I'm not snowshoe, sure. Snowshoe races. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't,
a little early for that kind of snow that would be required for such races.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But it's Thanksgiving Day in
Canada.
In Canada.
Yeah.
All right.
So they don't watch like the Canadian Football League games or something? Like
no.
It's traditional here, you get two NFL games on.
Right. No, all the cardboard fans didn't show up, so they canceled the games.
Cardboard fans.
All right. Well, we appreciate you listening, everybody. Ed, you want to tell folks how they can join us?
Yes. If you would like to watch this program, and as Tim always says, and why wouldn't you, you can go to Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues, and you will be able to watch us do radio here live on those two platforms. Or you can go to AFR.net and listen to the radio stream. Or if you are somewhere, this sounds funny, if you are somewhere that doesn't have a terrestrial radio station nearby, I don't know how you would be listening, but you could get download the app on your phone, on your cell phone, and you can listen to us anywhere you have a strong signal.
All right. This morning in our nation's capital, the Senate is having hearings for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett. And this is day one. And how many days are we going to have hearings, Fred?
Well, for sure, today we have the opening remarks. Eventually, we will get to questions directly to Amy Coney Barrett. 3 days at least this week. We'll see where Thursday takes us, depending on how long the speeches are from each of the senators. We have some senators who are doing it virtually today, among them Senator Kamala Harris. She's decided to stay in her office, and a few others. But a surprising number are there in person. The hearing started, just over 2 hours ago. The chairman of the committee is Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. This is how it sounded as he opened up the hearings this morning, cut number 9.
She and her husband have 7 children to adopt it. So 9 seems to be a good number. The process. This is an election year. We're confirming the judge in an election year after the voting has occurred. What will happen is that my Democratic colleagues will say, this has never been done, and they're right in this regard. Nobody's, I think, has ever been confirmed in election year past July. The bottom line is Justice Ginsburg, when asked about this several years ago, said that a president serves 4 years, not 3. There's nothing unconstitutional about this process. This is a vacancy that's occurred through a tragic loss of a great woman. And we're going to fill that vacancy with another great woman.
There you have it. That's Senator Lindsey Graham, who is the...
Boy, he sounds tired, doesn't he?
He does. And I think it's because of all the pre-hearing banter that has come.
And no, it's because he's in a Senate race.
That too.
Back, well, for, I don't mean to. Yes, Fred, you're right in part, but I think primarily it's because he's been traveling around the state of North Carolina back and forth, a lot on his mind. He just sounded a little tired there to me. Mm-hmm. But what was he? She's got seven children.
Yeah, but he was talking about seven children, two adults. That's nine.
Oh, I got you.
We don't need to pack the court. We need to keep nine Supreme Court justices. You know, we were talking about just before the program started, I said that Judge Amy Coney Barrett must be a tough lady because she's willing to go through this probably pretty stressful process. Brent Creeley, our producer, said, well, she's got seven kids, so that makes that by definition makes you a tough lady. And that was an excellent point. She just seems to be just a courageous woman, very, very smart. I think she's going to weather this storm. And then it appears that the Senate Republicans will have enough votes to confirm her.
Now, I'm watching some of it on our screen here, Fred. It's a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, of which Lindsey Graham from South Carolina is the chairman, as you noted. Lindsey Graham looks fresh.
Mm-hmm.
He looked ready to go. Maybe he just sounded tired on the radio a few minutes ago, but maybe he's not. But watching this, the Democrats have behind them, they're sitting on one side of the room, the Republicans on the other. Democrat senators have behind them huge posters. Is that what you call them? Placards? Of people's portraits.
Yeah, I was just noticing that too. I'm not sure who those people are.
I can tell you. Here's what's going on here. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat who sits on that committee, kind of this morning gave us a key. You know, there's been concern that they're going to make a big issue of Amy Coney Barrett's religious beliefs. But I think he's kind of set that aside. And what's going on here, and Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, who sits on that committee, who you will remember back, 2017, when Barrett was up for her appeals court, made an issue of Amy Coney Barrett's religion. You remember that?
Yes.
The dogma lives loud inside of you.
Yes. All right. You're asking about those pictures. Well, here's what's happening, and I've been able to listen to a little bit of this before coming into the studio. They are basically going to try to make the argument, the Democrats on the committee, that Amy Coney Barrett, she's going to sit for the Affordable Care Act debate before the Supreme Court on November the 10th. They say by her being appointed to the court, she is going to be a danger to the Affordable Care Act. Those pictures are of patients who the Democrats argue, some of those pictures at least, because I saw one of them. The Democrats are arguing that the health care of these individuals who have various health problems, their health care is going to be in danger because they believe with Amy Coney Barrett that the Affordable Care Act will be ruled unlawful. Now, that's going to be the thrust of the argument. To that point, Senator Feinstein kind of addressed that. Here's cut number 11 in her opening remarks.
Most importantly, health care coverage for millions of Americans is at stake with this nomination. So over the course of these hearings, my colleagues and I will focus on that subject. We will examine the consequences if, and that's a big if, Republicans succeed in rushing this nomination through the Senate before the next president takes office. But most importantly, in just a few weeks, on November 10th, the Supreme Court will hear hearings in Texas v. California, a case brought to strike down the ACA.
So there you have it. I think they've been warned, and they understand if they try to make the religious beliefs of Amy Coney Barrett an issue, that would not be popular with the electorate. So what they're going after is saying she's a danger to the Affordable Care Act continuing.
Can I just say why this conversation proves that our republic is in serious trouble? Here's why. Either the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional or it isn't. It shouldn't make any difference to Dianne Feinstein how Amy Coney Barrett should rule. The fact that we have had the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, ramrodded through and passed, enabling the federal government to take over 1/6 of the economy, take over health care, proves that we have blown well past the limits on federal power that the founders set up and established in our Constitution. Because either these things, let's talk about Obergefell. Either the federal government...
Remind people what that is about.
Yes, good. That is the Supreme Court ruling making legal same-sex marriage. So you either believe that the federal government has the right to define marriage or it doesn't. Okay? Now, obviously, I think it does not have the right to define marriage. But if you vote yes or no on a nominee for the Supreme Court based on what you think the person you're voting on is going to say, proves that we don't know what's constitutional anymore. You see, I'm probably not being very clear. Why should it matter what Amy Coney Barrett thinks or is going to rule on the Affordable Care Act? The Democrats should applaud Amy Coney Barrett for wanting to vote against the Affordable Care Act if it's not constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they be choosing sides?
Dianne Feinstein is saying, and this is the way the Democrats do oftentimes, they're making it appear as if Amy Coney Barrett, if she's confirmed, will alone strip away health care coverage for millions of Americans. Why? Because she doesn't care about them.
Hmm.
Because she's just a heartless person. That's not true. And furthermore, there are 9 justices that would take a majority. 5.
Yeah, but my point is...
Yeah.
This issue shouldn't even be before the Supreme Court, because the Affordable Care Act is not constitutional, and because what we've come down to is just power grabs by the left. That's why it's so important how Barrett is going to vote.
Yeah,
Making that clear. I'm not trying to confuse people.
Amy Coney Barrett. Anyway, she'll have a vote in. When is the vote set for? She's going to be confirmed.
I think it's the 22nd of this month.
Yeah.
It's either 22nd or 26th. Mm. What happens is the Democrats have a procedural vote that they can automatically delay for 1 week the vote once it gets to the floor of the Senate.
Could you get into the minutiae of that? I think our listeners would appreciate something to help them, you know, with their morning nap.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to, the Democrats are going to yell, scream, and kick. They're going to, and so forth. But in the end, Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell say they have the numbers to have her confirmed. So she will be the next, unless something drastically wrong happens here along the way, which I don't see how. Maybe she pulls her mask down or something. And
she's got her mask.
Huh?
Yeah, she's masked up.
As are all of them there behind her. It's like a scene out of Star Wars or something. Huh?
Yeah, but, I said she looks like Bane from Batman. But
yeah, at least she can, under her breath, say, you know, call the Democrats' names and nobody can tell, right?
I'm sorry, Judge Barrett. Did you say something?
Right.
No,
I didn't say anything.
Nothing.
I was behind my mask. You liar.
You little weasel.
weasel. So, and if she is confirmed, and everybody expects her to be confirmed, then that would mean the president would have 3 nominees.
Yes.
And that's impressive. 4 years, 3 nominees to the Supreme Court, and that is that is one of the main reasons that a lot of people voted for President Trump back in 2000.
It is also the reason why Democrats have been talking about packing the Supreme Court. They don't like the fact that Yeah. President Trump got three nominees, supposedly conservative nominees, onto the Supreme Court. So they basically want to change the rules.
My guess is the next president, whether it be Trump or Biden or Kamala Harris, would get three nominees probably. Because those guys, there's several of them that are on
Clarence
up there.
Clarence Thomas is up there in age.
Who's the, is it Breyer?
Stephen Breyer? Let me see.
He's 80 plus,
is
I think.
He?
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, he and Clarence Thomas.
I'm not sure past that you get anyone that's that old, right? President Obama got two.
Yeah.
Kagan and Sotomayor.
Yeah.
But to lose Clarence Thomas, that would be a blow for conservatives.
Yeah.
Unless you could replace him
right.
with a conservative. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Again, I don't know what the – you're saying these huge posters of people's faces behind the Democrats, are they're saying what about
– Well, I was just listening to Democrat Senator Klobuchar before I came in the studio, and she was one of those who has posters. She's got, I think, twin sisters – and one of them has a health problem. And Klobuchar pointed to that one twin sister who, if the Affordable Care Act goes away, that this sister will lose her health care. So that's the game plan of the Democrats. Comey.
Well, it might work.
It might.
I don't think it will work to defeat her nomination.
No.
But it might work in, votes for Biden.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
If that's the way it's going to be framed by the Democrats. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, Rob Chambers, our own Rob Chambers, Director of Policy and Legislative Affairs here, is at the Supreme Court outside, and he's going to talk to us at 10:30 about who's out there, what they're doing, and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
So we look forward to that report from Rob Chambers. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Obviously, we here at AFA feel like Amy Coney Barrett is an excellent choice by the president. She's a constitutionalist, and we just think that she would do an outstanding job, and we're in favor of her nomination, and we've said as much in our email action alerts. And today we're going to send out one asking folks to pray for her and her
right.
family, because they will be under spiritual attack and other attacks, have been and will be in the coming days.
By the way, I just did want to mention that the American Bar Association, which is pretty much considered left-leaning, that's the largest lawyers group in the U.S., did rate Judge Amy Coney Barrett as well-qualified. Ahead of this procedure this week.
Let me ask you this, Ed, and then Fred can comment too. Why is it when Democrats nominate Supreme Court justices, it's just business as usual? You have a hearing, you ask questions, and you vote, and then the person is confirmed. But when Republicans have nominees, every single one of them for the Democrats is the end of the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If this person is appointed, fill in the blank, Clarence Thomas, Anthony Kennedy.
All the way back to Robert Bork.
Robert Bork, who got defeated
right.
because of this. Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh. It means the end of the world as we know it. And yet it never is the end of the world as we know it.
Right.
But they always get to go through the meat grinder and get slandered and somebody brought up from their past who said they did something wrong to them and therefore it should be disqualified. Why does this only Republican nominees have to go through this kind of stuff?
Well, Fred, I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say it's because, all right, this is an oversimplification, but I think it's because, in my opinion, let me just talk about conservatives and liberals, or actually quote-unquote progressives. Secular progressives. I think conservatives in this country are more influenced by their religious beliefs. They believe in God. They believe in having to do the right thing for the right reasons. On the progressive secular left, they don't believe in God. And so it's all about power. So you have Republicans who voted for a far left, in favor of a far left nominee, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Okay, she was a high-ranking attorney for, was Planned Parenthood, no, the was it the American Civil Liberties Union or
ACLU?
ACLU.
Yep.
98 votes, I think she got. Mm-hmm. She, because on the right, conservatives said the president wins the election, the president gets to nominate, and if the person is qualified, we will vote in favor of the person. On the far left, the secular left, they are all about, no, it's about power. And we don't want Robert Bork. It's about abortion, okay, those kind of things. It's about whether it's a constitutionalist and an originalist. And we do not want those people on the Supreme Court because we want the Supreme Court to rubber stamp our far left ideas. So that's what I think.
Now, well, Sotomayor, an appointee of Justice Sotomayor, appointee of
President Obama.
She got confirmed 68-31.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 68-31. And there was no person dragged up from her past
right.
to slander her or to say she's a terrible person because she did A, B, and C. What was the other one?
Elena Kagan.
Kagan.
Go ahead, Fred. You were going to say?
Well, ditto to what Ed just said, but also the Democratic Party plays dirty. They do. They play dirty, which allows them to dig up allegations from the past, as we saw in the Kavanaugh hearings. And they'll spread it out there. Plus, they know they have the media on their side who will faithfully regurgitate the accusations and never check the accusations out. So they know this. They have the mainstream media in their pockets.
Yeah.
And so they can play dirty. They can make all kinds of accusations. And that is added to Ed's point. They are secular in their beliefs. They don't like, they believe Christianity, conservative beliefs, affect their agenda for the country, which is to turn this country into a socialist nation.
Yeah, by the way, the two appointees for that President Obama submitted when he was in office the 8 years, the Supreme, and they were confirmed, Sotomayor, 68-31, and Kagan, 63-37.
Mm-hmm.
So the senators who wanted to vote no voted no, 31 of them, 37 of them. But they didn't slander the person's character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have to go through all this. With the Democrats, it's kind of like get ready because they're about to attack them personally. Amy Coney Barrett, they're saying they're not going to go after her religion. And maybe they won't, but they're saying if she's appointed, it's the end of healthcare in America.
Well, Sotomayor, the reason she got some blowback from conservatives and from Republicans in her nomination process, in her confirmation process, was because of this line. Now, most of us will remember this line after I read it. But she said, and she had made this comment several times, I would hope that a wise Latina woman with the richness of her experiences would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life. So that the reason she was opposed by significant numbers of Republicans was because that is not a constitutionally prescribed reason for making your votes, for casting your votes as a justice of the Supreme Court. That is not a constitutional.
You mean your gender and ethnicity?
Yes.
Shouldn't count for something, Ed?
No, you can't say that a wise Latina woman would make a better ruling than a white male.
That's what she said.
That is not within the realm of law.
Which is the whole point of the argument between people, conservative justices and
right.
progressive justices. Progressive judges, you go on feeling.
Yes.
And you go on whatever the, quote, values of the moment are.
Not the law and not the Constitution.
All right, we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. They called it a day of rage in Portland, Oregon. Hundreds of Antifa rioters taking to the streets, causing all sorts of mayhem. The mob's angry about Columbus Day, declaring war on what they call the white colonizers of America. They toppled two statues, one of Abraham Lincoln, the other of Theodore Roosevelt. They also pillaged and plundered the offices of the Oregon Historical Society. The group, numbering about 200, mostly dressed head to toe in black. Many wore body armor. President Trump denounced the violence, calling those responsible animals. He also called out the Democrat leaders of Portland, saying they're turning a blind eye as militant thugs take over an American city. Be sure to remember that on Election Day. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern. You can also listen online at toddstarnes.com. That's where you can also download a free copy of my daily podcast.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, if you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We're asking you today to pray for Amy Coney Barrett as she appears before the United States Senate on her confirmation hearings for the, now you can say it, Tim, Supreme Court of the United States. And so that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. In fact, we go to Rob Chambers, VP of AFA Action. He's in Washington right now. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning.
It's Where a great are you? Day. Where are you?
Actually, I'm on. I'm one block from the U.S. Supreme Court. We're walking there to intercede on behalf of this nation, as well as to pray for Amy Coney Barrett as well. And actually, I'm walking down the sidewalk. With me is Bishop E.W. Jackson, so we're headed that way.
Yeah, so there's going to be a prayer meeting in front of the Supreme Court for Amy Coney Barrett and,
yes, sir,
and for our nation.
Yes, sir, yeah. For Amy Coney Barrett, to protect her from the evil, from the attacks.
Yeah,
it's going to be, and that already has been, leveled against her, and so we're praying for her, and as well as for the nation as well, Tim.
Now, you were out there earlier this morning on the steps of the Supreme Court, too. What was going on then?
I tell you what, Tim, it is really encouraging what I saw out there this morning. I mean, significant numbers of young teenage girls out there, pro-life, standing for life, and so I tell you what, it's a new day for this generation. They're excited. They're charged for in support of Amy Barrett. There were some protesters out there, but it wasn't too bad. And but I was really very encouraged.
Amen. Well, Rob, that's wonderful. Say hi to EW for
yeah,
us.
You wanna, yeah, hey, you can.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got him right here. Let EW say a couple of words.
No, I owe him $7. Don't put him on the phone. No.
He owes you money.
No, he won't let me forget that. No, right, put him on. Put him on.
Put him on, yeah.
All right, hold on.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, yeah, Bishop. Hey.
Good day.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
No, why are you there with Rob? What are you guys going to be doing?
Well, listen, we're going to be praying for Amy Coney Barrett. We're going to be praying for our country because we believe this appointment is critically important. You know, they're accusing this president of packing the court by simply carrying out his constitutional responsibility. And it's just a reminder to me of how language is so twisted and contorted. Amy Coney Barrett represents that school of thought that says we ought to actually pay attention to the words of the Constitution and interpret it on the basis of what the founders intended. And I think that's just so refreshing. It's what our country needs right now. She's what our country needs on the Supreme Court. So we're here to pray for her and pray for the country and pray for her confirmation.
Bishop Jackson.
A bunch of people out there. Yes.
Yeah, Bishop Jackson, Ed Vitaglione here. Could you just speak for a moment about the spiritual warfare that is going on, not only around this confirmation process, but in our nation, as we see our country pretty much divided politically, but there's a spiritual divide too, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. Look, this is ultimately not a battle between Republicans and Democrats or liberals and conservatives. This is really a battle ultimately between the forces of darkness and those of light. This is ultimately between God and the forces of the enemy, Satan, who wants to destroy. As I've said many, many times, I think one of the greatest gifts God's ever given to any people is the United States of America. I really believe our country is a gift not only to us, but to the world. And anything that God creates, Satan wants to destroy. And I think that's exactly what's happening right now by attacking our Constitution, attacking our Judeo-Christian values, attacking the church, attacking the First Amendment, and all of the principles that undergird the most successful nation in the history of mankind. So, yeah, it is a spiritual battle, and that's why we're here to pray first and foremost, because we know that this battle is going to be won in the spirit.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, we'll let you go. Bishop, thanks for joining us. You and Rob, appreciate you guys being there in our nation's capital in front of the Supreme Court praying for Amy Coney Barrett and our country. And God bless you, brother. Who's doing your show today?
Well, God.
Alex? Okay. All right. Anyway, that's Bishop. That sounded clear. That didn't sound like a cell phone. Was that some kind of app they were using or something? Okay. Anyway, it was a very good sound. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed and Fred. Fred, go ahead.
Well, now we've had two debates, the first presidential debate and the vice presidential debate about a week ago. You will remember that in both debates, candidates were asked about packing the court. And in both cases, former Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Harris, his running mate, both said, I'm not going to answer that question. So it was really interesting. Over the weekend, Joe Biden was once again asked by a very brave reporter, because most reporter questions to Biden these days are softballs. But basically, this reporter said, you know, where are you with court packing? Don't the American people have a right to know? So I'm going to play you that cut. But also, you're going to then hear Joe Biden, Senator Joe Biden in 1983, saying what he felt about packing the court back then. So here's Joe Biden from the weekend answering the reporter's question, and then Joe Biden in 1983. Cut number one.
Sir, I've got to ask you about packing the courts. And I know that
sure.
You said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election. But this is the number one thing that I've been asked about from viewers in the past couple of days.
Well, you've been asked by the viewers who are probably Republicans who don't want me continuing to talk about what they're doing to the court right now.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, they don't. I'm not going to play his game.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct, but it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. He was totally within his power, and his objective was seen clearly.
So there you have it. So the question remains, well, maybe not a question, what Joe Biden plans to do if he's elected president, but how he felt back in 1983 about the question of packing the court. Boneheaded idea, he said.
I don't understand why, as I mentioned last week, why Biden is being coy with this or saying, catch me if you can, or you don't deserve to know what I'm going to do until after the election. Ed, why is he doing this? And why don't you just say yes or no?
Well, because they are deflecting. This is what Kamala Harris did in her debate with Vice President Pence when she tried to turn it around. And by the way, first let me just explain for some listeners who may not understand what we mean by the phrase packing the court. Okay, so there are 9 justices. It is clear that if Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed, that President Trump will have reshaped the Supreme Court in a conservative direction. So you could have 5, maybe 6 conservative votes on important cultural issues. Well, Democrats, what are they going to do about that? They can wait for conservatives to die or retire and replace them with liberals, or you add seats to the Supreme Court. With Biden as president and maybe the Democrats recapture the Senate, you could make four new seats, 13 members of the Supreme Court, and then you can confirm all liberals, and now you've taken away the conservative bent of the Supreme Court. So that's what is meant by packing the court.
Or in sports, that would be the same as you move the goalpost.
Yeah, well, the rules of the game. It would be like saying, well, their 11 are better than our 11, so we're going to make 15 on each side because we think we can get 4 more players that'll be better than the 4 players they put on the field.
Or we'll add 15 and they can only play with 11.
Yeah.
Something like it. Anyway.
So what the Democrats are doing is deflecting and trying to make this about what Republicans are doing by putting Amy Coney Barrett on, because that way they don't have to be honest with the American people. If they came out and said, yes, we're going to pack the Supreme Court, that could cost them the election.
Yeah, but Fred, aren't they saying it now by not answering the question? It just sounds, first of all, you're running for president of the United States. You're talking about the Supreme Court, which is a constitutional, which is a part of the balance of power, the 3 branches of government. You can to say the American people don't deserve to know how I feel on that just seems, but what else can you say is off the table? I'm not going to answer it.
That to me is absolutely stunning arrogance, that the American people do not deserve to know.
I know.
and White House spokesperson Kayleigh McEnany was asked about this morning. And listen to her response. Cut 4.
Of course, voters deserve to know. This is how seriously President Trump took his promises to the American people. He put out a list with the very names of who he would put on the Supreme Court. He didn't owe that to voters, but he gave it to them because he's transparent and wanted voters to know exactly where he stands. Yes, voters deserve to know if he will reshape the judiciary, eliminate the filibuster, which would reshape the legislature. Voters deserve to know. And that was a really elitist remark from Joe Biden.
Yeah, as she makes the point again that we've talked about, President Trump put out his list of prospective people that he would nominate to the federal courts. Joe Biden, again, is refusing to do that. He doesn't want the American people to know.
What this is, to me, is a man who sounds very confident he's going to cruise to victory. And there's no point in getting into an argument over whether he's going to pack the Supreme Court or
not.
That's
right.
You know why? Because the American people don't care about that. They really, not enough Americans care about that for me to make it a big controversy.
Yeah, and I'm not going to come right out and say something that could cost me the election when by being coy,
yeah,
and I think I'm going to cruise to victory, then I can do what I want afterwards, and there's no political price to pay. Because they're not going to remember this in 4 years when I'm running for re-election.
Right. That's what it sounds like to me. Now, whether Biden cruises to victory or not, I don't know. That remains to be seen. The election is November the 3rd. He is ahead in almost every poll I've seen, both nationally. And the swing states are very, very close, most of them. Well, not most of them. Probably two-thirds of the swing states are very tight, very close, if you believe the polls. But I think they're confident they're going to win and that they don't need to get into whether they're going to pack the court or not. And furthermore, Joe Biden in the past, as you just heard that quote a few minutes ago, called it a boneheaded idea to pack the courts. Now, are you convinced, Ed and Fred, that he personally would be in favor of packing the courts, Joe Biden?
Yes, I do, because I think if he really thought it here in 2020,
yeah,
that it was a bad idea, a bonehead idea, he would come out and say it.
He would alienate his left wing base.
Well, no, that's true. But if he honestly believed and was not going to do it, well, I'd grant you that he may be protecting his left flank.
Biden has said before, I think during the primary season, that if Democrats decided to pack the court, they would rue the day.
Yeah.
Is that the word? Rue the day,
yes.
Rue the day. That is regret the day
right.
that they did that. Now, sometimes candidates even might be personally opposed to something, but they are forced to do something different because the people that support them say, you will do this, and there's enough pressure being brought to bear on them to do that. We will see. Fred, any thoughts on that?
No, I think it just goes back to our discussion a few moments ago. The Democrats are all about complete power. Complete power. And one of the ways to do that is to control the Supreme Court. And that's what the far left of the Democratic Party, which really controls the party right now, I still believe that the party decided that they could not win with a far-left candidate at the top of the ticket. So Joe Biden was framed as the moderate, as the face of the Democratic Party to go to this election. But in reality, it is the far left. It is Bernie Sanders' Democrat Party right now, even though he's not a Democrat per se.
You know what?
It is AOC's party.
You know, talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes.
You know what's ironic about all this? Is that for decades, the left loved an activist court, a left-leaning court, and they encouraged the accumulation of power at the Supreme Court. They loved it because when they couldn't get something pushed through Congress, like same-sex marriage, they just said, we'll take it to the Supreme Court. Conservatives always complained that the Supreme Court had too much power, and the Democrats always said, you're full of baloney. Now that the Supreme Court, is tilting right, tilting conservative, now all of a sudden the left says, the Supreme Court has too much power. We got to do something about that. It's amazing how when they have the power on their side, they want to accumulate it in the Supreme Court. Now they don't.
And to your point, Ed, it's been really interesting over the last couple of years. When court decisions have come out against President Trump, some initiative, it has come from an Obama-appointed judge. And we've talked about this. But a federal judge in Hawaii will make a decision on, let's say, that involves border security. But he makes it for the whole country.
Right.
One federal judge.
Well, I'll tell you what will rein that in. Amy Coney Barrett being on the Supreme Court.
Right.
Yes.
Which is why they're fighting against.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is so significant because if she's on the Supreme Court, now she is one of nine, but if the other conservatives hold on some, and I think they would on a question like what you just put up, where a federal judge can reign over the entire country, I think they would reject that. A conservative Supreme Court majority would reject that, and is. Ed said that maybe one of the main reasons that the liberals are opposing her. The presidential polls, You guys been tracking this at all, or do you even care?
No, I've been following. Yeah. I haven't this weekend.
Fred doesn't believe in the polls, though, right, Fred?
I am skeptical given what we saw back in 2016. Was that the Jim Saturday Morning? Believe it or not, CNN is on there. And they had a guy looking at polls and comparing things from 2016. The polls were off. Now, given today, some polls are saying there's a 12-point lead for Biden, et cetera, et cetera. But the polls were so wrong in 2016, whether it is a sampling problem or whatever the case may be, they were so wrong in so many of the swing states that President Trump eventually won, albeit by not a whole lot. So I am, yes, I'm very skeptical about what I'm seeing because the variations, I think the latest polls were a reflection of the presidential debate that we saw a couple of weeks ago. And people had an emotional reaction to the way President Trump handled the questions and the interruptions. I think they had an emotional reaction. But I think if you were to look at those same people again today, I think you would see different results because we've had a couple of weeks since that debate.
So you think the polls are so fluid at this point,
yes,
that they really don't make any difference.
And I think also I'm going to be anxious to see some polling in the wake of the vice presidential debate from last Wednesday night, because I think Vice President Pence hit it out of the park, and he made Kamala Harris look bad.
I don't think Kamala Harris looked bad. I thought she did pretty well, actually surprisingly well. But I do think Pence won in terms of if you're keeping track of the debates and the questions and the answers. And one thing Vice President Pence did, I thought, was he was able to more properly defend the Trump-Pence record and the attacks of the Democrats than President Trump did. Mm-hmm. And I think so. I think Pence helped their chances, like you said, by performing so well.
Oh, wow. The election night, we will have coverage here. It can't get here soon enough.
Huh? Three weeks from tomorrow.
Do we all feel the same way?
Someone around here mentioned the 2024 election. I said, stop right there. I said, don't you dare. Don't you dare bring that up.
No.
I'm with you. No. Let's just, whatever God determines for this country, let's get it over with.
Yeah.
And we'll work with what happens. But keep praying is what I'm saying.
It's kind of like you go to the doctor and you got to get a shot on Tuesday and it's like Thursday before the weekend and you're going like, can I just go right now?
Yes.
I just want to get it over with.
And I don't want to hear about next year's shot. Let's get this one over with.
Exactly. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Fred and Ed. It is an extremely serious election for our country, both the presidential election and also the Senate races across America, because that will determine whoever the president is, Kamala Harris, you could argue, is co-president if she were to be elected, what they're able to do, because the Senate has the ability to check a president in a lot of ways. So we will see what happens with the Senate races.
And for conservatives, that's critical that conservatives hold on to the Senate, because as you said, they can, for example, trying to pack the court, you can't do that if you can't guarantee the Senate goes along with it.
Yeah. You guys think that the response, the COVID that hit our country when back in March, when all this started, don't you think this is what's affected the presidential election more than anything else?
No question.
Don't you think so, Ed?
The COVID?
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't think it would be as close as it is if we had the economy going that was going.
I think
before.
Trump cruises.
Yeah, I think that's
pretty
right.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. By cruises, I mean I think he wins all the swing states, just about. If the economy was going as well as it was
right
in February and March before all this hit, Mm-hmm. And then what happened subsequently, what happened to shut down the economy, basically, and the problems that we've had, since then across the nation with lockdowns and
right
everything, and people have been troubled by, you know.
And people will vote on that feeling.
Yeah.
I just don't feel good about our country.
Right.
They'll
right.
vote on that kind
so
of
so-and-so lost their job.
Yeah.
Restaurant had to close down.
Right.
Whatever, that does affect people's psyche, and a lot of people vote based on how they feel at the moment about the direction of the country. But yeah, I just think that this would be altogether a different conversation if COVID had not hit our country.
By the way, Bob on Facebook, watching our show, says they take the polls at Antifa rallies, so. That really could affect how the polls look. So, Bob, I don't mention Bob, last names on needs, you know, but he comes up with some good ones.
He missed his calling. He could have been on a writer for Jay Leno back in the
day.
That's
right. He'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Back before all the late night talk shows weren't lefties.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Next topic, Fred. Are they taking a break there in D.C. at the Senate hearing? Yeah, they are.
They probably it started at 8 o'clock our time this morning. So
yeah, they took a recess.
They got a break.
You know, one of the races we're going to be watching on election night is the Senate race in South Carolina, with the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, being the incumbent there. And his opponent, Jamie Harrison, for the Democrats, they released this morning how much money he raised in this past quarter. $57 million in the last 3 months.
Most of it's probably Hollywood money.
Yeah, it's probably coming from outside the state.
Oh, yeah, you know it is.
His campaign alone, $86 million. Since he announced he was running, $86 million.
To try to defeat Lindsey Graham.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is happening in a lot of different places around the country. The Hollywood money is flowing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hollywood and George Soros and the people like that. I don't have any evidence that George Soros has contributed to the opponent of Lindsey Graham, although I would suspect it has some way or another filtered down.
With one of the political action committee's PACs.
Yeah. Yeah. George Soros, the international socialist billionaire.
Well, he
that just
he,
sounds so contradictory, yeah. doesn't it? A socialist
he,
billionaire.
He denies that he's a socialist, George Soros does. But he is a progressive lefty, big government, globalist, you know,
Except for himself, he's a capitalist.
Yes, that's right. That's right. He doesn't mind owning private property. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Which, if you're a real socialist, you consider the ownership of private property to be the root of all evil.
Yeah. Well, all right, Fred. Thanks so much for
you are welcome.
Your contributions to this hour. We thank you, folks, for listening, and we're going to be back in a couple minutes with Steve Jordahl. Ed and I will be back with Steve Jordahl with more news happening in our country and in our world, so stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.